everyone, and welcome to my podcast. Today we are going to be talking about a gang that has reportedly terrorized the Morrisania area of the South Bronx. This gang calls themselves the Mackballer Brims. I'm going to be discussing the history of this gang, the size and location of them, the characteristics of the members, why and how people joined, the criminal activities that the members are involved in, and the general dynamics of the gang. We will also be talking about the leaders of the Mackballer Brims. So let's jump into it. The Mackballer Brims are a set of the Bloods. They trace their history back to Omar Parti and the LA Hack Gang, which started in 1969. Then in the 70s, the Hack Gang changed their name to the 5-9 Brims. Omar Parti was the founder of the United Bloods Nation, commonly referred to as the UBN. This nation was a very large East Coast organization consisting of several sets. Omar Parti named one of these sets the 59 Brims. Although the name is similar, the 5-9 Brims on the West Coast had no affiliation with the 59 Brims on the East Coast, specifically located in the New York area. Eventually, the 59 Brims on the East Coast became so large that they divided into four sets, one of them being the Mackballer Brims. As talked about by Klein and Maxson, a gang can be defined as any durable street-oriented youth group whose involvement in illegal activity is part of its group. A gang's identity is extremely important to them, and a characteristic of their identity is their name. Like all gangs, the Mackballer Brims have a meaning behind their name. The term Mac comes from their founder, Omar Parti, who is referred to as OG Mac. Baller is street slang for gangster, and Brim comes from the 59 Brims that they are a subset of. We will continue to talk about how the Mackballer Brims are durable, street-oriented, and how they are involved in criminal activities in the topics to come. The Mackballer Brims are a huge organization. Police suspect at least 552 members, excluding associates and wannabe YGs. This is a number very opposite of how a gang is generally defined. Most street gangs are much smaller in numbers. According to Klein and Maxson, law enforcement recognizes a group as little as three people as a street gang, provided that they participate in criminal behavior. Law enforcement believe that there are thousands in this one gang. The Mackballers are said to be extremely organized and are militant-like. An OG, or original gangster, is the highest rank in the nation, and they are responsible for appointing superiors. The first superior is the highest in the set. He is the leader, and his function is to oversee everything that goes on in the set. There is a second superior who is like the right-hand man of the first superior. The ranks go all the way down to a principal soldier or a young blood. A principal soldier is someone who complies with all orders from the higher-ups and keeps banging at all times, and a young blood is just a new member. The Bloods and their sets like to think of themselves as a mafia or mob. They adopt many of the same ideals and structures as organized crime. This is something that we generally don't see with regular street gangs. It is very challenging to fit the Mackballers into one of the five street gang scenarios talked about by Klein and Maxson. Since the Mackballers are so large in size, it does not fit into any of the scenarios other than maybe the collective gang, which has 100 or more members. The Mackballers have been around for a substantial amount of time, like most collective gangs, but after researching, I would argue that the Mackballers have established distinguishing characteristics from other gangs. These include their size and their criminal activities. Like I said previously, the Mackballer Brim's home base is in the Bronx, specifically in Morrisania. This gang has members in Brooklyn, Staten Island, and in upstate. They also have members in other states, reaching all the way down south. The other states include New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, North and South Carolina, Kentucky, and Georgia. As stated by Maxson, gang migration is the movement of gang members from one city to another. It can occur for a multitude of reasons, such as when gang members visit friends or family, or if they have to escape law enforcement crackdowns, and even if they have to relocate due to court orders. Some believe that migrant gang members relocate in order to grow their gang, establish more territory, and make more money, known as gang franchising. This idea is what I believe happened with the Mac Ballers. They have so much power and are so large in quantity that it would make sense that they would expand for gang franchising. Unlike small gangs, the Mac Ballers would be more easily able to move their members around. But don't be fooled, the Mac Ballers are still a set of the Bloods, and they still follow many of the same ideologies, and they do not like when sets get too powerful. For example, the notorious member, Scott Fields, known as Murder One, who earned his nickname for beating two murder raps, was in charge of the Staten Island section. This section started to get really powerful and could survive as its own gang, so Scott Fields tried to launch his own blood set, but was turned down by the Mac Ballers. The first superior in this blood set is Larry Calderon. His nickname is a capital letter O, and not the number zero. Calderon is 37 years old, and he is known as the Godfather or Don. He is a convicted killer and spent 17 years in jail. He is currently facing life for murder. His top associate, or the second superior, is Eli Rios, known as Blood Eli. He is 38 years old and doing life in upstate New York for homicide. Calderon and Rios oversee networks in state and city jails as head of command that dictates all matters, including ordering hits on rivals and turncoats. Since they are in jail, decisions like these are put into place with the help of girlfriends and family members through cryptic social media messages. The New York Post reported that there is both a money unit and murder unit of this gang. The murder unit is pretty self-explanatory and involves when the gang decides to go kill people and how that will be carried out. The money unit, however, is much more involved. They make millions from dealing heroin, crack, pot, and prescription pills. They trade illegal handguns brought by the Iron Pipeline, which is a route in the U.S. used to smuggle weapons. They earn cash from home robberies, street muggings, extortion, prostitution, and kidnapping. One jailed Mac Baller had a North Carolina's prosecutor's father kidnapped. This was retaliation for putting him away for life in 2012. Eight members pistol-whipped the father and held him for 5 days until the FBI rescued him. The Mac Baller Brims also completely dominate Rikers Island and are in charge of most of the contraband that goes in and out. They sell cigarettes or fingers for $10. They also supply hospital-grade scalpels for $100 each. A gang associate working at St. Luke's Hospital stole used scalpels and had women smuggle them into jail by hiding them in their body cavities, much like how the woman in Can't Search Her hid drugs in their bodies. The Mac Ballers also provide protection for vulnerable inmates that pay them. And like many gangs, the Mac Ballers are heavily involved in the rap industry. Other crimes include home invasion, robbery, shooting, and graffiti. As said by Howell, Egli, Tita, and Griffiths, this is actually pretty likely for a gang of this size and location to be partaking in such specific crimes. They point out in their research that the greater the population is for the location of the gang and the greater number of members, their criminal activities will be chronic and persistent. The Mac Baller Brims are a male and female gang. It does not appear that females hold much power or status in this gang, but there have been quite a few females mixed in with groups of Mac Ballers arrested during police seizures. This may be because of the same ideas presented in Joni Miller's article about women in street gangs. In this article, many of the females she interviewed stated that the women weren't expected to be as tough or as hard as the males, and that they purposely were protected from crime and the risk of going to jail, which is likely this is a reason why we do not see as many females going to jail for the Mac Baller Brims, but we do see this happening. Girlfriends and family members are also used by Rios and Calderon to communicate with others while they are in jail. The title of being a girlfriend or a family member of a gang member resulted in status and protection for many of the participants in Miller's study in Article 21. They saw that this title would protect a lot of women in the gangs and was really the only way women obtained respect and status other than being more masculine. An incarcerated blood member had actually written down the questions asked to prospective gang members confiscated from him. Some of these included, "So you would like to be a blood? Are you willing to give your life for a blood?" And the last question is, "Do you know that once you are a blood, there is no turning back, blood in and blood out?" Kids as young as 14 have been publicly reported for having involvement in the Macballer Brims. One 14-year-old specifically, named Shaliver Deuce, was told that he needed to carry out a hit or kill someone to be accepted. Deuce ended up missing his target and had a shootout with police where the cops ended up killing him. Another way that people join is through being jumped for 031 seconds. This is a traditional blood ceremony. The 031 seconds serves an important purpose. The significance of this is that this basically means I got love for you, blood. The zero refers to the United Blood Nation. The 30 refers to the 30 rules that bloods are expected to follow. And the one is for the saying, one love under blood. These are essentially the same rituals described during the interviews of participants in Miller's study in Article 8. These members said that they were required to be jumped in, and some women were required to be sexed in. It is unclear how the female members entered the Macballer Brim specifically, but the UBN has had instances where female members are sexed in. Since the Macballers are under the UBN, it is likely that some of their members have been initiated through having sex with multiple members of the gang. At the end of the initiation ceremony for both men and women, the candidate will either recite the blood oath or receive a paw print, which is three burn marks, often from a cigarette, in the shape of a triangle. The candidate could do both of these things. Characteristics of the members are described as being very delinquent. Going back to Shaliver Deuce, he had a hefty list of felonies for a 14-year-old boy. He was arrested twice for gun-related issues in the course of only 9 months. The New York Times reported that he was a repeat offender who was caught up in rivalry with other gang members. He was also arrested on charges of attempted murder against a gang member, but the case ended up being dropped due to the lack of cooperation from the victim. Many people, including his family, are wondering how a young kid could get into that much trouble. It was reported that his family and friends tried to protect him, but that he was young and impressionable and was trying to find his place in his neighborhood littered with criminal activity. Deuce also started hanging out with a group of older teenagers affiliated with the Macballers, which is a prevalent social factor for why kids decide to join gangs as presented by Aline and Wood. These are all characteristics that were also described in Article 8 by Miller about how youths join gangs. Neighborhood exposure was the number one reason reported by the participants in her study for the reason they joined their gang. A study conducted by Rice with seven members of the Macballer Brims concluded that the nature of parents could have played a role in joining the gang. Most of the participants' parents had bad behavior and lacked moral support. Many experienced their mother always on drugs and their father in the prison system. This can result in the members suffering from ideas from strain theory, where kids have absent role models like fathers in prison. As seen in the study conducted by Miller about the reasons why her participants joined gangs was because of conflicts in the homes, such as drug abuse and violence. Most of the participants in this study were told to stay out of trouble and seemed to be guided in the right direction, but they believed that joining the gang was the right thing to do. They found pleasure in doing the wrong things and turned to doing drugs and joining gangs. One participant reported joining the gang to satisfy his drug addiction. Espenson and Carson reported that youths that partook in substance use were more delinquent and more likely to join gangs. 3 out of the 7 participants had family members in gangs, and this was considered significant enough to say that this is a reason why youth may join the Mac Ballers. This was also a prevalent reason why the youth in Miller's study joined their gang. This research also concluded that financial hardships in the family can lead to adolescents believing that they needed to join a gang. This connects to social disorganization theory discussed by Wood and Aline about how economic destabilization contributes to social disorganization, resulting in the breakdown of social institutions, which essentially forces kids onto the street. This research also shows that many of the families of the kids were unable to provide etiquette support and had low levels of authority over the youth involved in the Mac Ballers. Parental guidance is a large component as to why children join gangs without having authority and structure. Children are able to do what they want, such as become gang members. Joining a gang fills a void placed by social institutions that make young, impressionable people feel alone. While conducting my research, I was unable to find how female members enter the gang. Some gangs do not offer females the option to be sexed in, but others do. It was unclear what the Mac Ballers do. I also couldn't find specific ways of gang suppression efforts other than jailing members. I couldn't find anything positive about this gang either. They were only portrayed in a negative light. I'm sure that there are times when this gang has helped their community or helped others, but instead, the media portrays street gangs in general negatively. I think that people should know the positive things that gangs and the Mac Baller Brims do. Some gangs give diapers to single mothers and donate to the hungry in their communities. I think that if people realize that gangs don't just wreak havoc on their communities, then the way of controlling them could be improved. Overall, the Mac Baller Brims are a huge organization led by Larry Calderon and Eli Rios, and they make millions off of their criminal activities. They completely dominate the illegal contraband going into Rikers Island. They are also a blood set and are under the United Blood Nation. They follow many of the same ideals as the original blood gangs do. The Mac Ballers are considered one of the most dangerous gangs in New York City and live by the blood in, blood out motto. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you learned something interesting.